Hello and welcome to My Wheelhouse. On the off chance that you're not a relative or a close friend and you've wandered in here somehow, want to introduce myself. My name is Brian Boyd. I will be introduced shortly, joined shortly, by my wife, Alejandra Herr. This is a podcast that we came up with as a way of sharing our interests with one another, welcoming each other to our own wheelhouse. It's hopefully going to be a lot of fun. Each week, we pick a different topic that one of us is passionate about and share that interest with our partner, who has 1 week to do serious research and learn as much as they can so we can have some great conversations. We hope you will listen and enjoy, and heck, maybe sometime make a podcast of your own with someone you love. That would be pretty cool too. In the meantime, enjoy. I think that worked on my end. How's it looking over there?
Okay, I think it's going on my end too.
Awesome. Okay, well, this is our first attempt at this for real. So let's see how this goes.
Yep.
Let's see how our I'm assuming family members like this, because right now I'm guessing
that's who's gonna listen.
I'm guessing it's family members, maybe a couple of friends, and then people,
couple
who
of coworkers,
down, yeah, and maybe people who have gone down a weird rabbit hole
somehow come across it. Yes,
okay. Those are the three I could imagine are part of this. So this is our first episode, and you were the one who was picking our very first topic.
Woohoo!
And it was no surprise to me. After watching you read this book 30 billion times, that your selection was Pride and Prejudice. By Jane Austen, yes. You know, the way this will work most of the time is once somebody picks a topic, we have a week. The other person has a week to kind of do a kind of a cram session. To kind of learn as much as they can about the topic. And I did that in December.
It's been a minute.
So we first had this idea in December. I think it was December. And I remember really, really cramming a lot of Pride and Prejudice in one.
Yes, week. I was impressed by how much research you did.
It was a lot. So the question is, do I remember much of that? So I'm going to be looking at my notes and try to figure out what from this I remember. But I guess my big question is, okay, why? Why is this book so important to you? Why would this be the first thing that you thought we should share in our conversation?
So I guess a couple of answers. One, because I'm so familiar to it, or it's so familiar to me, it's just an easy first topic to throw out there. And I know it really well, so I can kind of talk about it whenever without doing any of my own additional research and have thoughts about it too. So
wait,
there's
that.
That
sounds like laziness was your first.
Clearly, I needed something that I felt strongly about and came to mind easily. I really struggled with trying to put together a list. This is hard. And the other thing, but I guess that's going on to the other question about why it is that it's important to me as opposed to why I picked it. So I first watched the BBC miniseries in high school. My mom and I randomly came across it on TV one day and watched it and just really loved it. And then I happened to read it in English class sometime around then too. So ended up getting the whole Jane Austen boxed set and have seen one of the recent Pride and Prejudice from a couple of years ago. But anyways, this one was always my favorite. And for me, it's been very much of a comfort book, something I can go back to and read, and I can open it to any page and kind of know what's happening, and it's not depressing or scary or upsetting or anything. It's just comforting. It's soothing and comforting. Well, like you said, I have read it a lot over the years.
Yeah, I think I realized how important this was to you when you were pregnant with Sebastian.
And I was so ill the entire time.
You were miserable. For months and months and months, you were just sick. We tried, I remember
everything.
Everything that had ginger in it, we tried. We tried the gum. Bracelets. We've gum.
Yep.
We've tried everything.
Every different type of food or anything. Several different medications.
Yep. It was great.
Yeah.
And every day you would be over. You had this pile of books beside you. I remember getting this big pile for you.
Yes, yes. You kept bringing me more and more books, which was exactly what I needed.
But you didn't read many of them because you kept
reading.
You read some, I guess, but you kept on going back and reading.
You know how I read.
I know.
Yes, I would reread it, but I read all the books you gave me. But yes, I did go back and reread it.
Yeah, she reads a book. She reads a book a night. Like, this is... It's unrealistic. Like, if you were just looking at a piece of, or looking at a book and just put your eyes on both pages and turned the page to be like comically funny reading, she reads at that speed. And it's not, it's not okay. And you, it's not okay. But you read Pride and Prejudice, I mean,
many times.
Yeah. A dozen times while you were pregnant with him?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Uh-huh.
I guess I don't have any books that I can do that with. I think the closest I have, there's a series, and I think I told you about this before, there's a series by David Eddings.
Yeah,
That my brother used to like too. It's The Belgarian. And I've read that 3 or 4 times. In fact, I read it last year or a year before. Oh my gosh, it could be 5 years ago now. But I read it again recently. But, you know, I read that once every 10 to 15 years. Not a couple of times a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So you love the book. It's comfort. Have you gone back and watched the miniseries? Does that give you that same kind of comfort, just watching the show?
I guess so. I do like the BBC miniseries. I don't think I would go back and watch the other, like, full-length film from a couple of years ago, though.
The Keira Knightley one?
Yeah, I would not go back and watch that. That one does not make me happy. It doesn't.
Yeah, it is darker. I 100% agree. It is not nearly as fun.
And no Colin Firth.
Colin Firth is dreamy. Although it has the guy from Succession, who wins it all.
I don't know what
Tom
Succession
Wygant.
Is.
Okay. Anyhow, the Mr. Darcy is the man who, quote unquote, wins at the end of the TV show Succession. So that's kind of cool.
Okay.
There is, and I think I just shared with you, the one bit of quote-unquote research I have done in the last 6 months was watching a 2003 version of Pride and Prejudice that had absolutely nothing to do really with the other two, in the sense that the main characters, Elizabeth, was a modern person, and this one she wanted to be a writer. It was about her and her friends, not her sisters. It was an odd, very poorly done remake of the story. But, you know, it was at least it kind of reminded me a little bit of what the basic story was.
Inspired by?
Inspired by, I guess. Yeah. Man, it was, I mean, the thing that makes this a story that doesn't really translate, at least it didn't here, is, you know, the basic premise of the story, which is the thing you have to accept to kind of buy into it, is the pressure of marriage, right?
Like, right.
You know, that
it is a truth universally acknowledged that every single man must be in want of a wife or something. I can't remember what it is exactly, but
isn't that like the opening line? Look at you.
Yes, it is. Ooh. It is. Ooh. But I can't remember it.
That was still pretty good. I'm impressed that you got that much. But but yeah, so this need for marriage, the social pressure was palpable, right? And and you get that in both the Keira Knightley version and the BBC version. But in the modern version, that kind of pressure to be married is really kind of self-inflicted. You know, in the modern world, it's if you feel pressure to be married, yes, you might get some family pressure, but it's not nearly at all the same kind of stigma in the modern world if you're
so I do think they probably just weren't very good at this. I mean, I think about Clueless and how that's based on Emma, and I loved Clueless. It was just so, it was great. But I mean, if you know Emma, you can sort of see the ties back to it, but they did change it a lot to make it relevant to the current time. So clearly these other people were not good at doing that.
Yeah,
with
that's true.
Pride and Prejudice.
That's true. It really, they could have gone a different route. I wanted it to work in this new way simply because they eliminated one character who I mentioned to you before. I know.
Yep.
Version, who I find to be one of the most annoying characters in all of literature and film, which is the mother of Elizabeth. Her character in the book is very, very annoying, but in the miniseries and in the Keira Knightley, it is so over the top. Like,
but it's supposed to be over the top. It's supposed to be ridiculous. I think it is. I think it's funny. I think she's so funny because it's so ridiculous.
I got so annoyed with her so quickly every time she came on. And I liked the father. The father seemed to want the same things the mother did, but also seemed to at least have a genuine concern for what his daughter wanted as well. And I didn't get any sense of that with the mom, which is why I guess I really found the mom to be a problematic character, right? Like,
I really think you're overthinking it, though. This is supposed to be light and fluffy. I know. You would never overthink anything. This is not Key School. This is like a light and fluffy and airy, just super simple, comforting cup of hot chocolate. This is not like an amazing red wine with all these different tannins and, you know, amazing flavors. This is just super duper light, I guess is the best way that I can describe it. So it's light, it's ridiculous, and I think she's funny because she is so ridiculous. And I love the fact that the father does make fun of her and does push her buttons, and Elizabeth sees it too. Yeah, she's just ridiculous. It's just fun.
Okay. So let me allow the mom to just be kind of the comic relief that the story needs. There are some kind of relatively big themes here in the story, you know, especially you know, the character of, make sure I remember his name. Was it Wickley or?
Wickham. George Wickham.
Wickham. He's a problematic character. I mean, this is a guy who is.
Yes, yes.
Is taking advantage of people and, you know, in an age when reputation, especially for young women, is so important, he is destroying mm-hmm. the reputation of young women without mm-hmm. any regard for them.
Yep.
So there are some elements of this that are, even in, you know, even though, again, everything is about reputation, not about necessarily life and death, there are some pretty heavy things there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
It's okay. So,
And Elizabeth herself, I mean, just the way Jane Austen has written her, she is kind of making fun of the expectations of the time and the pressure that people feel. And writing Elizabeth as somebody who doesn't go along with that and, you know, doesn't want to get married unless she is in love with somebody. So she just assumes she's going to be single and she goes along and sort of makes lighthearted fun of everything too. And so I do think, I don't know enough about the literature of the time, but I do think it's really interesting that she does have a character that doesn't just feel that same pressure as the others around her.
No, I don't know enough about the literature of the time either, although I will say Austen is pretty consistent with that theme, right? This must be an ongoing thing. This can't just be Jane Austen living off on her own.
No, I think Pride and Prejudice, though, was one of her first.
Okay.
Her first books.
That's funny. I didn't know that at all. So let's talk about then this central love story, because, you know, Darcy has become one of those names that's thrown out there as an ideal. Right? Like, you know, I'm people looking for their Darcy, this kind of connection. And Darcy obviously is a tough character to get to know quickly, right?
Yes.
There's more to him.
Yes.
What do you think about him as a man, as a love interest for her? What makes him kind of a worthy quote unquote adversary and companion in your estimation?
I think in some ways he is a good companion for her once, you know, we get over his just being ridiculously proud, because he is so different from her. There is one place near the end where Jane Austen does talk about that a little bit, how they do, I guess, complement each other. She sort of brings more liveliness and fun into his life. And, you know, he brings more of that steadfast approach, as well as like the education that he has and all of that. So I don't know. I think it's not so much like Mr. Darcy would necessarily be a love interest for me specifically, but Colin Firth is very pretty, and I think he's just a good compliment to Elizabeth. So, yeah, I think it's just the complementary nature of their personalities. I think that sort of tall, brooding, handsome man is kind of a trope, right, that is out there, and Mr. Darcy falls into that.
Yeah.
So there's that. I don't know.
No, I like that you somehow accidentally proved the point of our entire podcast, the idea of people who have very different kind of interests and whatever else.
Exactly. Exactly. I was thinking you're a little bit more lighthearted like she is, and I'm more of like the harder to get to know, but there's more to them sort of person.
And here I am pulling you out of your comfort zone, making you talk out loud about things, which is great.
Yes. Yeah.
I appreciate it, honey.
Yeah, you better.
This is good.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is good. But I guess overall, though, I told you, I love it. I just think it's so light and doesn't require any heavy anything, which is just really nice sometimes in my anxiety-ridden brain. But what did you think of it? I know you hate Mrs. Bennett, and Wickham is interesting to you, but like, what are your thoughts on it overall?
You know, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the book more than the miniseries. The miniseries was fine to me. You know, there are, I like that we see the different views on marriage and life in the different characters. So, you know, Elizabeth is one perspective, but it's not portrayed as like the only correct perspective. You know, there's Charlotte, I think her name is, who is the kind of pragmatic, like, I know I'm marrying this guy for a very practical reason, and that's what I want. And the fact that Elizabeth herself can actually then become genuinely, I think, happy for Charlotte because of that, right? Like, so that there's this sense that there's no one way to go about life that's correct, that there's this... there is a spectrum of ideas out there, and all of us at some point or another are ridiculous, and all of us at some point or another are viewed by others as being kind of wrong, right? Because we're not doing the same thing they are. But there's an acceptance in the story that I think is a really beautiful sentiment. And I think that idea that we all need to find our own path and be true to that is a beautiful sentiment. I think the dad has one of the great quotes that kind of stuck with me, where, and I'm going to get this wrong too, where I think this is when Mr. Collins has proposed to Elizabeth, and he says to her, you know, your mother will never speak to
you. She'll never see you again if you don't marry Mr. Collins, and I will never see you again if you do.
Exactly. And that to me was, you know, the father kind of recognizing the need to be true to herself. Not because it's something he approved of or didn't approve of. If he had thought she for one moment wanted to marry Mr. Collins, I think he would have given very different advice. And I think that's a beautiful sentiment, that, and a timeless sentiment, the idea that that we all have our own path and we all have to find our own path. And the people that are going to be along that path with us as friends, as family, as partners, are going to be different than we are, and are going to bring different things to our lives. And there's a celebration of that here, without kind of sugarcoating the fact that there's also that's also going to bring tension at times. So, you know, to me, that's what makes this kind of a rich story, is that there's so much going on. But because I'm reading it that way, really kind of like delving into the what does this mean for me, it doesn't become a light read for me. Like, you know what I mean?
I can
like,
see that. Definitely catching on to that.
It's not. That's why I was kind of fascinated. I'm reading it kind of like with this almost philosophical bent, as I'm apt to do with stories.
Yes.
I finished a book last night, which is a beach read, right? Like a fun summer beach read. I finished it at 2 a.m., bawling my eyes out because of some deep philosophical thing that I think the book intended, which it may or may not have.
Right.
I really liked it for those reasons. I think that I have a tendency to do what so many characters in the book do, which is judge characters I don't like. Like the mom.
Oh, I know you do. I was not surprised by you not liking the mom.
No, but then But right, isn't that kind of contradictory to what I just said, right? Like the thing that makes our lives so great is this, but here's a character that I can't let go. Like I cannot get past. And I know I have people in that like that, and probably in my life too, where there's something so naggingly annoying that, and I'm sure I am that person to a lot of people's lives. I don't know. There were a couple of other like just funny things in the in it that I did like. I'm trying to look through my notes.
I think just listening to Mr. Bennett in the early part of the book, or the first half or whatever, before she goes to visit Charlotte, he just has these funny little quips here and there. I don't know. That was just something that stood out to me when I've read it in the past, is just the funny little things that he says and the way that he kind of pokes fun at his wife.
For sure.
And other people too, not just her. He's just kind of funny and quirky
and endearing, right? Like he's an endearing, you can tell he cares about his daughters, and I know that the mother does too.
Yeah,
it's harder to see because what she cares about, you know, is
very different than very what different. Elizabeth cares about, at least.
Exactly. And so that's
For sure. It's so interesting to hear you reflect on the book because you are taking such a in-depth look at it and all of the characters and the themes and all that. And it's there, and I realize that, and I do think those are some of the reasons I enjoy it too. But for me, it's easier to just have that be part of the background noise of why I love the book, and just kind of stay at that fluffy level though, when I need it as my comfort book. But so thinking of comfort books and Jane Austen, did you watch, I forgot to ask you about this, Bridget Jones's Diary?
Yes.
Okay.
Many, like when it first came out. So.
Okay. They completely changed the main character. Bridget is not at all like Elizabeth, but that is an interesting, it was kind of interesting sort of interpretation of it. And that Bridget Jones's Diary also was something I used to watch a lot at one point in time as well. Not anymore, but.
It just hit me. I had no idea that was a take on Pride and Prejudice. So in Bridget Jones's Diary, Colin Firth is playing the
Colin
same
Firth
character.
And
Hugh Grant's playing the Wickham character.
Exactly.
Oh my god. I will have to go and ruin that movie by watching it again with a deep philosophical mindset to try to figure out what was going on. Because I honestly had no idea that was an inspired by Pride and Prejudice movie. Not at all.
Yeah. Well, the Wickham and the Darcy piece, that's really the only piece they pull from it. But still, I think it's kind of neat that it's inspired by, and that Colin Firth replayed his same character. I love that.
Okay, so we can go 6 Degrees of Separation, going to a Hugh Grant movie, 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Uh-huh.
The woman who played, do you know that movie?
Yes, I do. I've watched it several times.
So the woman who played, I hate that I'm going to the character.
Duckface.
She's
one of the sisters.
She's one of the, she's the awful one. She's the one that's just really horrible.
Caroline. Is she Caroline?
Yeah.
Caroline?
I could not place what movie she was from. It was driving me insane to try to place her for half the miniseries. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, it's Duckface.
It's Duckface.
Yeah, there are some good ones in here. The mom's line, you'll never be as pretty as your sister, Jane, but you look very well indeed.
Yes.
It's just a great one. I'm trying to look through and see if there's anything else that I'm...
Well, you mentioned the dad and his line about Mr. Collins. He had another good line later on when she tells him about Mr. Darcy and being engaged to him. And he's like, what are you talking about? I thought that you hated him. You know, we all know that he's this horrible, proud person. And she tells him how she has fallen in love with him and it's been, you know, several months or whatever. And then he says something like, well, if that is the case, then he deserves you or something. But it was it was just really, really sweet. And you can see he's all teary and all of that. And that, you know, we all know that he's this bad, ill-tempered person, but if you love him, then, yeah, so it was sweet.
That is a good one. And I remember Darcy's line that reminded me of you, where he says, I don't have the talent that some confess to converse easily with strangers. I thought that was great.
Yes, although her quip back to him, I'm not sure how I feel about that. do you remember? But
nope, not even a little bit.
Of course not. Basically that she thinks he does not make the effort to do so and says how she doesn't play this piano as well as she sees other women do, but that is because she hasn't taken the time to practice and all of that. So
they didn't understand introverts in the time.
They did not. They did not. Gosh, I do remember a lot from it. These random lines.
You do remember random lines. I had to check my notes for most of mine.
Well, it's just funny because I don't usually, whereas you can pull quotes out of nowhere about something you watched 20 years ago. So that tells you how many times I've read this, the fact that I can remember specific things.
Quick question. How are Bingley, is that his name?
Bingley, yes.
How come Bingley and Darcy are friends? I never was able to in any of the versions because they just, Bingley seems like such a good dude and Darcy's such a like stick in the mud at the time.
A couple of things. One, I think that he is not such a stick in the mud when other people are not around. Because I do think he even said, either he did or his cousin Fitzwilliam said something about how he's different, like why he doesn't know why he's being so different or something that implies that he is not like that when around just his friends. So I think that that is one component. And then the other component is there probably is some sort of similar complementary personality thing happening. So similar to Elizabeth bringing some of that lightheartedness and whatever to his life, I think Bingley probably brings something similar, just like the happy and everything is good sort of perspective could be a nice complement to his personality.
That makes sense. And that kind of gets at why maybe Bingley and Elizabeth might not have been a match in the same way that she and Darcy are, because of that.
Yeah.
That kind of complementary aspect that Austen's really playing up, mm-hmm. which, you know, let's hope is true. It's been pretty good for the last 12 years or so.
Yes. Yes, for sure. But yeah, in this case, I'm Darcy.
Okay. Well, this was okay. I feel like I have an appreciation of the book and of the series in a slightly different way. Like, you know, the way it's hard for me to just do the surface.
I know.
Kind of reading and watching and viewing and whatever else. Everything becomes analytical for me, especially when I'm kind of doing a weeks-long homework, you know, right, to understand it. But there are so many things that I watch that are just for, you know, things that I've seen 100 times that I just love having on because they don't make me think.
Right.
You know, I just rewatched all of Arrested Development again. and, you know, that's not exactly something that's taking me deeper in life. So it's good to kind of see this as one of those things that you can appreciate at that level as well.
For sure. And, you know, it's a nice reminder to me as well that, yes, it is a lovely surface thing that makes me feel better, like a cup of hot chocolate. But there actually is a whole lot more to it, which is there and it's in the back of my head. But I just don't focus on explicitly so much. So it's just a nice reminder because those things do play into why I like it. And I just kind of forget about them sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess good news, bad news for you. I guess bad news. Well, I get to pick the next topic.
Yeah.
And you have a week to do some homework. Now, I guess the good news is this is something that I'm guessing you are familiar with already. It does involve reading. But I'm guessing this is something you probably have read already. And it's only a couple of pages, which is all the good news. The bad news is this is definitely not a surface read. This is one. We'll have a nice deep philosophical conversation next weekend.
I have to be analytical at work. It's hard to do it at home, too.
No, well, too bad. Too bad. You love me, you're going to do it.
All right. I love you, and I am going to do it. What is it? What is it?
So we are going to read and discuss Plato's Allegory of the Cave.
I have read it.
My favorite thing to teach my ninth graders. It's awesome. I think there's so much in there, and so much in there that I've never even kind of parsed through myself. So many things that I haven't done with it. So I figure it will be a nice short one for your first topic for me, and it is not a video game or something like that.
Thank goodness.
Well, don't worry, you'll get there at some point.
Oh no!
But I think it'll be great, and it'll be a good conversation for us to have next weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I'm up for it. I'll do it.
I knew you would be. I knew you would be, baby.
Yes.
Well, I guess we are done here, and I guess I will see you in about 30 seconds.
Sounds good. Until next time.
Bye.
Hey, bye.